Great to be with you on this Friday, the 20th of July. I'd like to begin by acknowledging traditional owners of the land where Let's Talk is broadcast. I'd also like to pay my respects to our elders, both Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander elders and non-Indigenous elders. And hello and welcome to Let's Talk. If you're listening to us on 98.9 FM or the National Indigenous Radio Service. Today I have with me two people from the Standby Response Service, which assists families, friends and communities bereaved by a very sensitive issue for some of you mob out there, and that is suicide. Because we all know someone, who we may have lost due to suicide, or at least, someone close. This service is a program actually developed by a Sunshine Coast organisation called United Synergies, and they partner up with other organisations to deliver the program in communities. For instance, in Brisbane, they work in partnership with Lifeline. Now, Jill Fisher is the National Standby Coordinator, and also with her is Travis Shorey, who's a National Standby Cultural Advisor. Now, we'll talk to Travis in just a moment, but first, let's welcome Jill Fisher to the show. Jill, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. And I also acknowledge elders past and present, and also Gubbi Gubbi people on whose land I'm talking to you from.
Now, Jill, tell us a bit about yourself. How long have you been working in this particular field?
I think most of my working career, I'm a bit of an old girl, so about 30 years now in the field of crisis and trauma, but more particularly the last 10 years with the Standby program, which has been an absolute amazing journey for me and for all involved. It's such a fantastic community-based program.
What got you into the field of crisis and trauma in the first instance?
I guess when I was a bit younger, I grew up in a country area. As a project officer, I think I was engaged for 2 days a week for a six-month project, and 10 years later and 10 standby programs later across Australia, here I am today.
And so what training have you received? I mean, are you a counsellor by trade, or what?
I'm actually what's called a suicidologist. It's actually a professional area of work that I work in, and counselling in all of those areas, but predominantly I would be described as a suicidologist, somebody who studies and works within the field of suicide prevention, intervention and postvention.
Well, you've been working in this field long enough for a generational change. What have you seen in terms of the attitudes towards suicide, community attitudes?
Yeah, I think we have seen many changes. It's not part of culture, wasn't part of culture, but something that has had a tremendous impact. I know Travis will be talking much further, but so we have seen some real positives. We've seen suicide more identified, spoken about in safer ways. We know that, sometimes publicising issues about suicide can carry risk, and we're seeing a much greater work around how we talk about suicide, but we talk about it safely. We make sure people know how to get help. And we're also seeing a great collaboration amongst all the people that work in this area. And we work very much as partners and share information, share support, connect really well. And I think it's a real credit to Australia as predominantly a small country in the size of other populations in the world that we've managed to arrive at this place. But the bereavement area is a very, very new area. Very few people even knew that there was a field working in the area of suicide bereavement. It's been a group of people most often left in the shadows and left out. And not always had their needs met or identified, because I guess we were so busy preventing suicide, but now it's really important to start acknowledging the impacts for those left behind.
And this is the difference, I guess, with a program like the Standby Response, in that it deals with those left behind rather than I don't know, do you still actually focus on the suicide prevention factor too?
Well, we believe that supporting people bereaved by suicide is prevention. We believe that not only are people bereaved by suicide, can be at danger.
Well, the service has been, or the program itself was developed back, 10 years ago now?
Yep, here on the Sunshine Coast, in Noosa of all places. Yeah, it started.
How did it happen, yeah?
Yeah, look, it started as a result of a tragic loss in one of our small rural the ambulance and all those people who really support the program, but develop something that can actually work and can work quickly, that uses everybody in the community to respond. So everyone has a role to play. It might be about providing counselling, or it might be simply dropping off some food, you know. It might be helping out with a bit of transport, or it might be a local business that'll give a bit of money if a family needs a bit of support at some point. It's all coordinated. It's all done so that families and communities suffering don't have to go looking for help, but it's there and it's addressed individually to what their needs are.
Well, let's take, for instance, Brisbane there. I said in the introduction that you deliver the program in partnership with Lifeline. So how would it work, particularly if I'm my family has been affected by a successful suicide?
Okay. If somebody in the family has died by suicide, normally the experience would be that the police would be in attendance. It can be a very complex system. Try and have to tell their story over and over, which is so painful each time, and try and ensure people get help when they need it, where they need it, and in the right time and place.
Can you can you access this service immediately, or immediately after, or can you access it also after some time has passed?
Absolutely any time. We don't restrict when the suicide occurred or where it occurred. Anybody can access standby if they had a loss 20 years ago.
Well, look, when we come back, I want to talk a bit about the Kimberley and your work in that particular region. This is Let's Talk here on the National Indigenous Radio Service. I'm with Jill Fisher, National Coordinator of the Standby Response Service. And also in a moment we'll meet Travis Shorey, who's the Cultural Advisor for the service. Jill, you were saying before that suicide was virtually unheard of in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities. When did the Standby Service start to work with Aboriginal communities on this particular issue?
I guess right from our very inception, on our very first launch here on the Sunshine Coast, we had members of the Gubbi Gubbi community attend that launch and provide their support.
Well, I understand the Kimberley Standby Suicide Response Service actually delivered some training to Rangers in the area. Tell us about that particular project.
Yeah, there's a international project called the Living Works Assist. It's a brilliant suicide prevention training program and fits very well with the way Standby works. And we deliver that achievement, how to keep yourself safe, how to be a supporter. And that's been a really successful program. I think the two coordinators up in the Kimberley, East and West Kimberley, have now delivered that type of training to more than 1,000 people, including many of the rangers. Another great success story up there that Travis might even mention is the Alive and Kicking football team, who also are key people delivering that training, part of that training, and working alongside the rangers in making a difference in those communities that have so many needs.
I have to admit, when I read the story or heard about this particular initiative, I sort of went, that's a strange combination, rangers learning, suicide prevention and recognising obviously the risk factors and learning protective factors and things like that, but also the bereavement side of things. Why rangers?
I guess they're the people that are out there. They're the people that know everybody, both.
I guess the other side aspect to it is, if that young person or is feeling disconnected from culture, there's that avenue to get back into it as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, Travis, I know we'll talk about the connection to culture and how much that is part of really giving people a place to go to think about being strong, to think about staying safe, and to think about being proud and being able to walk forward and to move away from thoughts of death and those reasons for dying that sometimes can really entrap somebody.
Well, we've been talking about him. Maybe we should have a chat to him now.
I think so. I'll put him on.
Thank you, Jill. Jill is the National Standby Coordinator. And joining us now is Travis Shorey, who's the National Standby Cultural Advisor. Travis, welcome to Let's Talk.
Good morning. Good morning, Karen.
Firstly, tell us your mob, your country.
Yeah, I'm from Atherton Tablelands, up that way. So both my Murray side and Aussie side are up that way. My grandmother's country is Barbarum. That's Silver Valley, up the back of Herberton. And grandfather's country is Cookimimidji, up near Hopewell.
Well, you're a long way from home there, brother.
Yeah, it can show holiday up there, so I thought I'd come down and spend time in the National Office and talk about this thing. They call it suicide again.
So is this? So you're based in Cairns then, are you?
I am, yeah.
Okay, rightio. Well, look, firstly, Travis, tell us, what is your role with National Standby?
Yeah, I've been their cultural consultant for a number of years now. I believe 2007 is when I developed the initial package around You and Me, Which Way, this thing they call it suicide.
Yeah.
Generally put that together to increase not only service provider understanding, but the Aboriginal community. So that's been very interesting, and particularly the latest developments with DOA providing some money to investigate this a little bit further and find out ways, meaningful ways, that are working for Indigenous communities, or what they're seeking to enable their understanding and capacity building.
I asked Jill this question earlier about why she got involved in the whole crisis trauma area.
Sure.
And could I put that question also to you, Travis? What drew you to this particular field? Is it something that happened, something that's been experienced in your own family?
Yeah, I think I'm like most of our family out there, like most Indigenous Australians. It's an issue that hasn't affected our family members. It's an issue close to our hearts because we're losing a lot of regardless. So, and this is the thing, if there's a sudden loss, or particularly loss to suicide, which we do see in our communities, the most important thing is support through our communication, local people, but also that's the beauty of Standby being a national program and offering some expert guidance around, you know, community loss and individual pain. It certainly is traumatic because it's the sudden loss, and once again, our communities are saturated with grief and loss, and it's another burden towards finding the right help or onto their pathway to healing.
And with your own family's experience, did you find your relatives and extended family had no idea how to, you know, approach you, how to talk about it, how to support you?
Yeah, so through my lived experience, yeah, that's one thing. I know what the subject is, know how to ask the question, are you feeling okay, mate? How are you going there, sister? You're not thinking of hurting yourself? You're not thinking of suicide? Simple prompts like this certainly helps the conversation and creating a space, but also further, it's about enabling the Indigenous community about, if I get told this information, what do I do with it? How do I articulate that? How do I give that to auntie or uncle or someone, a service provider in my community, to make sure my brother or make sure my auntie is going to be safe as such, and not go down the path of self-harm or not go down the path of thinking about suicide?
From Jill's observations in working in this field for 30 years, she's noticed that suicide is less stigmatised now. But I guess this is still relatively a new concept to First Nations mob. And I imagine that there's be a lot of stigma surrounding it. Is that what you found?
Yeah, that's the big one. It's really that stigma, and us as Indigenous people sometimes is a barrier to providing that help.
And which way this Alive and Kicking football initiative, could you tell us a bit about that one? Is that mainly for Kimberley, or has that gone in other communities as well?
Well, that's a good story, yeah, Alive and Kicking. And obviously through this pilot project was about sharing goods we do as a community, at a community level.
Now, are there signs that someone's contemplating taking their life?
Yes, definitely, and definitely a lot of signs involve warning signs as such, and that's what was the Mythbusters all about, is about do you recognise if there are signs when people aren't struggling or feeling so good within themselves. And that's a really nice process, just to work with people in that space and watch them respond to the information, because our mob are all natural helpers, you know. We all help our families and whatnot, and sometimes more than others, because I said before, just the amount of saturation of grief and loss in communities, sometimes you just got to hold people, give them a safe place, say it's okay. Here's some common meaning around suicide. Here's some stories, some resilient stories, some good stories around community practice out there across the nation. And here's some good stuff about you taking care of you so that you can support your family or someone in need in your community.
You, people like yourself and Jill, I guess, and other people working in this field, whether you're dealing with suicide prevention or dealing with the aftermath of suicide, yeah, have got an enormous task ahead of you. And I guess, you know, you need to also, I suppose, take stock, much like those people who do see it firsthand.
Yes, this is right. It's such a sensitive subject. It's such a hard subject. But I think particularly for our young ones, given that 50% of our Indigenous population is 25 years and older, what can we do about this? So yeah, this has been a good opportunity that DOE has given you and me, which way to understand their learnings and bring it to communities, but also bring it to the national top level.
Where can we find out more information about You and Me, Which Way Suicide?
Definitely, Standby has got a website and whatnot. It's also under the DOA, Taking Action to Tackle Suicide. Mm-hmm. There's a number of initiatives funded to, you know, look at different approaches to this. So, definitely, yeah. Please.
Well, I've got the United Synergies website in front of
That's
me,
right.
So I'll mention that. So, and DOA as in Department of Health and Ageing. So, okay, taking action against suicide. Look, we do appreciate your time, Travis, and do pass on our regards to Jill as well, and thanking you both for popping on to talk about the work that you're doing over there at the Standby Response Service. And we will let our listeners know how to find out more information about the work that you and Jill are doing as well.
Fantastic. And to all the listeners, you know, take care of yourself and take care of your family. And, you know, together we can make a difference, because, you know, diabetes in our communities was a hard issue. And now, you know, we're making inroads, and it's another health subject that, or health crisis that we have in our communities, that we're starting to connect the dots. We're starting to come together nationally and share good stories. So thank you very much.
Travis Shorey, who is the cultural advisor for the Standby Response Service. We also heard from Jill Fisher, who's the national coordinator. And the web address to find out more about the National Standby Service is unitedsynergies.com.au. And of course, if you are in a low situation and you are contemplating suicide, there are a number of places you can go for help. And for those of you who are affected by it, here are some numbers to write down. Lifeline Australia, which is 13 11 14, 13 11 14, or the Kids Helpline, 1-800-551-800, or the Suicide Callback Service, which is 1-300-659-467. That's 1-300-659-467. And of course, if there's immediate danger, and contact your local emergency service contact numbers. This is Let's Talk here on the National Indigenous Radio Service and on 98.9 FM. We're going to talk about football, rugby league next. And we have Ian Lacey from the Institute for Urban Indigenous Health on the line with us today. And Ian's here to tell us a bit about a unique event that's happening in happening tomorrow, featuring the Ipswich Jets and I think South Logan. Hello, Ian.
How you going, Karen?
Oh, good, thank you. Good, thank you. Tell us about what is happening at Ipswich tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow it's the Ipswich Jets annual Indigenous Appreciation Round. So what it is just a day to celebrate the Indigenous contribution to the Ipswich Jets over the years, so past, present players, coaching staff and families and just the community in general. So all it is, we put a family fun day on, free to the public. We have the rides for the kids, we have the traditional dances, and it's just a day just to promote, you know, Indigenous opportunities in Ipswich.
All right. And tell us about what sort of things will be happening, because you've got a program starting from 11 right through until 5:30 in the afternoon. So it's a big day.
Yeah, it is a big day. So the Institute for Urban Indigenous Health has sort of just tagged along on the back of it. You know, we see this as a good opportunity to promote health, as we all know the sort of the barriers that we face in terms of chronic disease and all that in our Indigenous population. So we see this as a good opportunity to jump on board and just sort of create a bit of awareness around, you know, certain things around Indigenous health. We've also got a number of other organisations come along to promote their services. Organisations such as the University of Queensland, Griffith University, the Queensland Police, the Justice Entry Program, Canberra Medical Centre is going to be there doing health screenings on the day. So it's just a day sort of to promote, you know, the positive contributions that are made to the Indigenous community.
All right. And there's going to be a roll-up of some of the old fellas who used to play for the Ipswich Jets.
Yeah. So this is the second year running, and last year we just got the day happening, and we're just building on that. And we thought, you know, it's a day to appreciate the Indigenous contribution, so why not get a few of these older fellas along, because they are the ones who paved the way at the club, you know. If these fellas didn't come through the club and make it such a sort of a good culture there, it'd be hard for the Indigenous players today to be, you know, so welcome at the club and you know, make just such a good contribution.
Yeah, because when you think of Ipswich football, you think of the likes of Alan Langer and the Walters brothers. You don't necessarily think about those brothers that have, you know, played in the local comp.
Yeah, so, you know, Ipswich is well known for Elfie and the Walters brothers and all that, but if you speak to anyone around that Ipswich community, you know, they speak of the likes of, you know, Gordy Langton and Arnie Murray and then Eric Law and those types of things. So there's a lot of players like that who are coming along on the day, and it's going to be a good day, and we're really going to showcase these older players. So they're going to come down and be introduced to the crowd. They're going to present the jersey to the current squad. So it's going to be a good day for all.
All right, and there's going to be the big match on, of course, at 3 o'clock, Ipswich Jets and South Logan. You being an Ipswich Jets player, I guess your fellas will turn up and do well on the day?
Yeah, definitely. It's got a lot of meaning to this match, you know. South Logan and Ipswich have a strong bond, you know. We're two clubs who face similar barriers, you know. We're not the richest clubs around, but we've got a good connection with each other, and there's always a good rivalry and good close matches there, so we're looking forward to it.
And those jerseys, they're going to be raffled off later?
Yeah, not all of them. So the players will keep theirs, but the players will sign a few jerseys and they'll be raffled off after the game.
What do they look like? Are they anything like the All-Stars jerseys?
No, they're different. So both artworks were provided by local community members. So, you know, we thought it was really important to make sure that happened, because, you know, we are promoting Ipswich in the South Logan area. So we made sure we had local community members provide the artwork for us. So just the Ipswich Jets strips pretty much all, it's a white with just Indigenous artwork all over it. And it's got a big snake that wraps around it. So it's really, really good. South Logan will be wearing the same jersey they wore last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, both outfits will look pretty good on the day.
Excellent. And where is it all happening?
Yep, it's at North Ipswich Reserve at the Ipswich Jets home ground, just across from the Riverlink Shopping Centre there in Ipswich. So there will be, as I said, it's free to the public, so come along. There's plenty of rides for the kids, plenty of, it's going to be Indigenous artwork there. You can paint up a boomerang. As I said, there's going to be traditional dances. We're actually launching our Reconciliation Action Plan also for the Jets. So it's going to be a big day.
Excellent. And as you say, the Institute for Urban Indigenous Health are going to be there as well with their Deadly Choices van?
Yep.
Sweet. Definitely. Okay, then. Thank you so much for that, and have a great game and event tomorrow.
Thank you, Karen. Thanks very much.
That's Ian Lacey, who's manager for the program manager for Deadly Choices. And that is Let's Talk for today and this week. I'm Karen Durante. Thanks for listening.